Welcome on back into Scotland's premier Fife based podcast, Fife Club. As always, the first rule of Fife Club is...
Talk about it!
Please, gather your friends.
yes, that's it. Please talk about Fife Club. Thanks. Absolutely thanks to everyone that listened into last week's episode. It was a bit of a departure from the norm, but it was a great experience to chat with the Daisies, and a big thanks to Viv and Lindsay for letting me cut my interviewing teeth with them. I look forward to getting them to come on again with maybe a few more of us Fife Clubbers. I think it would be good. Anywho, around the mic with my good self Kutch tonight is our very own drop of golden maple syrup. It's Jamie.
Hello.
And across from him is our very own Celine Dion. His heart will go on. It's James.
I'm not doing the voice.
Celine Dion.
But just to be clear, flavors, he is standing on a replica of Titanic. Right?
Never let go, Jamie.
I'm just like trying to think of other Celine Dion songs to make a joke, and it's just not happening.
So, again, this week there is no Mark. That is because apparently a pay packet is more important to him than this is.
Jesus Christ.
I know.
Priorities.
Whatever.
So, instead, we have a newbie Fife Clubber with us. All the way from Toronto, Canada, beaming in through the interwebs, our very own Justin Trudeau impersonator, the husband of leisure and good friend of the podcast, it's Doogie.
Hello.
Hello, Doogie.
Hi.
How are you doing?
I'm good, man. I'm really good. I'm very, very excited. I think this is, I've been looking forward to this for ages.
It's good to have you. It's been a long time coming. We've obviously been punting your little videos and whatnot as you've bummed about Toronto.
Finally, my incessant commenting on your post has finally got me a spot in a chair. I'm so glad.
Us first, now you just have to move on to like Conan or something.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever the Canadian equivalent of is, I don't know.
It's the next logical step.
Yeah.
What the fuck with WTF with Mark Maron as well. The next one.
Oh, yeah.
It's nice having you down the line, Doogie. Well, it is a bit strange.
Yeah.
Having you disembodied. Yeah.
Disembodied Doogie. I like the alliteration.
I do, yeah. That's sticking. For all we know, we could be talking to the ghost of Doogie right now.
Yeah.
And we'd have no idea. Maybe Doogie died earlier in the call, and we're just listening to his ghost.
His echo.
So disembodied Doogie died.
Oh, yes, Doogie. Oh,
lovely, it was devastating.
Oh, dick. Hi to Doogie's mum.
Oh, Jesus.
So yeah, this another week, another episode, and we have somebody else beaming into us. We've tried it once, it seemed to work all right, so we thought we would give it a bash with our good friend Doogie, because it's been ages since we've properly talked to him and seen him. And he's been such a promoter, a positive promoter of the podcast, this is what happens when you actively promote us. Mark Layton, you might be next. And anybody else, that's a warning to you. So watch our subscribers drop very quickly.
Just before we go any further, I'd like to say a special thank you to Chris, because a couple of weeks ago he showed me the Beast of Fife.
The Beast of Fife, yeah.
Beast of Recife, sorry, thing, which I said, which we then used. And then I forgot to say thank you to him, so thank you very much.
Yeah, that was awesome. It gave us some content, and we're always up for as much content as people want to give us.
Yeah.
I love that chat. I love that chat about the Beast of Recife. And like,
it was Kutch all along.
And all the kind of like the Apex Predator stuff, and like that was it was really cool, because I was on top of the like reintroduction of like bears and wolves and all that sort of stuff, and I'm like, oh, they have those here.
Yeah, he actually has
that's
them there.
That's a genuine concern.
It was when my mum and dad came over to Canada for a holiday, it was like one of my dad's legitimate concerns. He's like, I'm not sure if I can come because I'm worried that I'm going to see some bears.
Well, you know, that actually leads us on to a little thing. You have been travelling around about the good old maple leaf making your way around some exciting areas of Canada. What have you been up to and how has it been?
I just got back yesterday. I've been, so Jocelyn and I, those of you who don't know, Jocelyn is my wife, the reason I'm here. Mm-hmm. Jocelyn and I, we got a car this at the beginning of the summer. And so we decided that we were going to take a road trip out east and go like kind of all the way out to Halifax in Nova Scotia and then like up to Prince Edward Island, PEI, and then kind of meander our way back and camp along the way and visit friends. And it was awesome. It was amazing. Like so much. Canada is so huge. I was looking at it on the map, like of how far we've driven, and it looks like just a tiny portion of Canada, but we did about 5,000 kilometers. So about 3,000 miles in the car. I worked it out yesterday that the amount of driving we did on the road trip, you could drive from John O'Groats to Land's End, back to John O'Groats, back to Land's End, and then up to about the border.
That's nice. A fair distance, isn't
yeah.
it? When you're looking at it that way.
Yeah.
It truly does make you think how like genuinely lucky we are here in that you can literally go an hour away and be in a completely different setting. And feel like you're somewhere else as well.
Yeah, and like so the people would have like a completely different accent and just like you could go from like city life to amazing countryside and it's awesome.
And then that we've got the ability to do that in such a small country. Imagine having essentially the same thing but bigger.
I've always wanted to go to Canada. I have relatives over there, but it's just getting there is quite expensive.
Yeah.
And then, you know, once I'm there, I'd be okay. But
that's something that I'm probably going to come up against over the coming years. If you're
a resident there, or do you have a visa, or what's your status?
So I am now, as of the beginning of August, I'm a permanent resident.
Fuck yeah.
Oh yeah. I don't have like, you get a card, they give you a permanent residency card. I don't have it yet. You have to wait like 8-10 weeks for that. Mm-hmm. And in that time
you get busted by the immigration people, yeah. deported because you got your card on.
Yeah. You get stopped and frisked. I mean, I hope
Justin Trudeau just stops you in the street. He says, "And do you have your cards?" Yeah. You know, back to Scotland. Fuck up.
Yeah. Justin Trudeau, why you are always shirtless? I don't understand it.
That's something him and Putin have in common. Very different politically in every way. But.
It's so funny. Like every now and then on the news over here, like there just comes up like an article of like this family that bumped into Justin Trudeau hiking, and he's just like shirtless with a backpack on, with his family in tow. It's funny.
He really is like Captain Canada, isn't he? He's the embodiment of a nation, and so dreamy. Well, it kind of leads us on to some things we were wanting to ask you about, about life in Canada. How is life as an exile Scot? An expat.
As an immigrant. It's awesome. It's been a really transitional year because the visa was a year in the making. I got here in July last year. And so that kind of whole period, like, you know, I wasn't allowed to work and which is kind of where the whole husband and leisure thing kind of came about. So it's kind of quite transitional in that sense. In terms of like what Canada's like, it's just awesome. Before I came here, I was living in London, and it was London. I couldn't get to love London as much as I wanted to. It just wasn't for me. And I find that Toronto is just kind of like a much nicer sized city, and everyone's a lot more friendly. Like the whole kind of like Canadians being polite stereotype is like, you know, stereotypes are like that for a reason. Like everyone's, a lot of people are really, really polite.
That was actually one of my next questions. Are Canadians as nice as the Brandon makes us believe?
Well, I think, I suppose there's arseholes everywhere, right? But I find that, and I have an accent, right? So as soon as I start talking, people are like, "Oh, where are you from?" and are kind of generally, it kind of opens up conversations, and a lot of people have like kind of Scottish heritage over in Canada.
Oh, yeah.
So like a lot of people, they'll tell me that they're Scottish, and then they'll tell me like all of their clan history. And then they'll ask me. Then they'll ask me what my clan history is, and I don't have a clue. And I'm like, well, I'm.
I was like, those are my Canadian cousins. They were much more Scottish than I was.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck? Yeah. I don't know any of this stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I met like a couple that were like, oh, we're the Grahams of Monteith, not to be confused with these other Grahams. And I'm like, oh, don't worry, there's no problem about that. Because they're very into like that sort of ancestry. I suppose as a relatively new country, that you would be, right? Everybody wants to kind of hark back to their roots and all that, or find them, I suppose.
I think the thing with Canada though is that most people that you speak to that say they have a, you know, a relation or you know like a link to Scotland do, unlike most Americans who chances are they don't. their second names were taken because you know they didn't want to be persecuted.
Yeah, like I'm Scots Irish.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, like that kind of thing. But yeah, no, it's interesting because the marketing. The Canadian marketing always tells us that Canadians are super duper nice.
Yeah, and I mean,
can I come on? Oh, sorry.
I mean, they're nice to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's an important part,
and that's yeah. It's quite funny though, because people like Toronto is the big bad city of this sort of like area. So like I've been living up in Haliburton, which is about 3 hours northeast of Toronto, and it's kind of like really small countryside. It's just a village, and they're very much like, oh, Toronto, people are so rude in Toronto. And I was like, I'm just like, oh, you should go to London, man. Like, this is nothing. And I find everyone quite lovely.
See, I even find a difference between like Edinburgh and Glasgow. I hadn't been through to Glasgow for about a year at one point. Uh-huh. I had to go through to a passport office. The fucking passport office. And everybody was so cheery there that actually, like, I took a step back, like, what the fuck? Why is everybody being so nice? And I was in the passport office, of all places. And I was like, what the hell is going on? And then I realised it's like, oh, it's because I'm not in Fife/Edinburgh, where everybody's dour as fuck. But dude, I have a Fife-themed question for you. So Canadians are sort of known for saying A or E.
Uh-huh.
I think it's more A after sentences, but so are Fifers.
Yeah.
Inside Scotland are known for saying A afterwards. Has this helped you
acclimatise
into Canada?
It has really helped with the transition. it's one of those things that people are like, oh, because they take the piss out of themselves a little bit, like, you know, how people always talk about, when they talk about themselves, they're like, oh, we always say A and things like that. And I'm like, I always say A. Like, yeah. So it was.
I
was like, where I come from, everyone does that as well, and but for some reason, I mean, it's just like all those t-shirts are like all those tourist t-shirts are like Canada A. But yeah, no, it's really helped. It's really, I've kind of blended with the locals.
Yeah, I have to say, I do notice, like, I haven't talked to you for a wee bit. Not on your videos, but there is a little bit of an accent.
It's very small.
Very small, but
it's very small. I can hardly notice it. It isn't half as much as I thought you'd be.
Yeah.
Like, I know people have gone to Canada for like 2 weeks.
Yeah,
and have come back with. Yeah. But is that because you're talking to us? Do you think you speak with more of a Canadian accent when you're speaking to Jocelyn or anyone?
I think my accent is softer anyway because of like doing shows and things like that, and doing all that acting sort of stuff, which kind of is a bit of a, which I hate, because like I don't know, the first time I ever spoke in a microphone, it was so bad. I kind of was kind of like, whoa, is that what I sound like? And I think that's kind of really, and I kind of softened from there. But I don't know, it changes when, you know, when I'm speaking to like you guys, or if I'm like speaking to my family, it definitely, my accent gets a little bit stronger, or at the very least I talk a lot faster. But yeah, I've kind of started noticing myself saying like Canadian words, not Canadian words, but like, you know, they don't say jumper over there, they say sweater over there, over here. Right. And they say garbage instead of rubbish and stuff like that. So I've kind of started adopting Canadian ways of saying things, not necessarily, but I don't know. I don't know. I can't tell if my accent's changing, but I'm kind of hoping that it doesn't, because I'm kind of really relying on that getting some acting work because I'm that Scottish guy. So I really hope I don't lose it.
Yeah, that is the thing though. It's like you see some of the like the big you know, your big Hollywood stars that have gone across. Jared Butler for one, his accent's like so mixed at the moment, but people still reckon he's like, you know, in the States and that, still reckon he's got this lovely Scottish accent.
Yeah,
and it is. You can hear the bastardization of the you know, of the two accents coming through in him when he talks.
Yeah, there's sort of a. There was like I was listening to a podcast yesterday about accents, and it was kind of like in the 30s and 40s, or like the 20s to 40s, there was kind of that mid-Atlantic accent that was in movies that kind of sounded a bit British, but also a bit American.
Okay, yeah.
Maybe I'll end up like that. Or maybe I won't. Maybe I'll go in the completely opposite direction and my accent will get really, really strong, like some sort of caricature Scottish person, just in like an effort to be like, I'm Scottish, ken what I mean, eh?
You'll start walking around in a kilt and stuff.
I really want to just kind of forego trousers altogether and just get only kilts, just so that there's no question whatsoever that I am not Canadian.
walking around with your kilt. Yeah, with your kilt, your bagpipe, your handful of haggis and your handful of oats in the other hand.
Oh my god, so this is a quick side story, but I met a guy in Haliburton, which is like middle of nowhere, who was from Dunfermline and moved to Canada in 1966. And he, do you know, you guys all know the Falcons, the band, the Falcons in the town?
Oh yeah.
So like, he was like pals with them when he was a kid, and he lives in Canada. He's still got like a really strong accent, and but he like moved in his 30s and never played the pipes or anything like that. And then as soon as he got to Canada, like he picked up a chanter, and now he's like in a pipe band in Whitby or something like that. But like, but he's still got like a really strong accent, and I was like, oh my god, you're from Dunfermline, and like I used to work in Sinkies. And the Falcons used to play there every week. And you had the guitarist who would do the thing where he would like down a pint while he was still playing and stuff like that. And he was like, does he still do that? I'm like, ah, he still does it. Great. That's what we say, story.
That's amazing. It's it just shows you can't go anywhere without bumping into a fifer.
We are everywhere.
Well, I mean, even like weekend before when we were in Inverary, I was wearing my Fife Club t-shirt on the Saturday, and the only people that asked me about the t-shirt were four folk from Fife, and it was like Rosyth, Dunfermline, Kelty. You know, it's like, aye, even up there you're bumping into folk that live like just three or four streets over. And then there you go, you're going to the other side of the Atlantic and you're bumping into somebody from the town.
Yeah. That's amazing. Honestly, when you get that merch up and running, I want one of those t-shirts.
Yeah, well, we've got our own now. We are going to put some funds together to get some t-shirts for the homeboys out there.
for the homeboys. got to represent.
And if you wear that t-shirt, God help you.
All the fifers in Toronto will come out of the woodwork. Yeah. Like moth style light.
Well, apparently Nova Scotia is absolutely teeming with fifers, because that's where a lot of them came from, was from Fife. They don't have Fife heritage. Apparently a lot of them sound like fifers as well, like proper sort of thick Fife accents.
Yeah,
which is weird. Nova
Scotia and like Newfoundland as well. Like, I don't know. What I find was funny was that in the UK there's like so many different accents. But in Canada, I don't know, I just find that people either sound more or less Canadian. I'm like, I'll meet someone, I'm like, oh.
Newfoundland, like, that's really Canadian, isn't it? It's like...
Newfoundland's like its own beast. Like, they almost sound like, they sound Irish. And like, with like kind of a Canadian twang. And like, there's a lot of, like, if you get like a proper local in Nova Scotia as well, it's a really kind of strong sort of Celtic inspired accent. So like a cross between like Irish and Scottish and Canadian, all kind of blended together.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting. Interesting accents. I find it properly like intriguing how they form and how they how they adapt and change, and even like down to, like, as I say, your accent having a slight just a very slight twang to it, but then like as you're talking to us, we're talking to you, I can notice it changing again, and it's like how we do that automatically. Like I've been told I do it at my work. I go from off the phone being quite sort of, you know, fairly slangy and whatnot, to then like going on the phone at my work and being really quite.
That's your telephone voice, though, isn't it?
But yeah. It's not a conscious effort.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And then like depending on who I'm talking to, it can actually change and adapt to different people, different accents, and it's that kind of thing. I think one of my most sort of like favourite little factoids about a accent change was in Dundee, and it was about the. How the accent, how they ended up with these flat noises. They use like eh, a peh for pie. You know,
a peh roll.
Yeah, a peh roll. You know, the local accent has a lot of these low flat noises. Eh, ah, I. You know, it's like bassy notes basically. And where that came from was the jute looms.
Mm-hmm.
When they started coming along. The racket in there, so they started using these, these notes and these sort of like adaptions to the accent at work. Then it was coming home with them, and then the kids were starting to speak like that, and then an accent basically was born.
Just we're having jam, talking about jute, and it's podcasting journalism. Fuck it is. Yeah. Three J's of Dundee.
And then the D of Dundee discovery.
Fine ship. Commandeered it a few times.
Discovering you're up the duffer got an STD.
Oh, I love Dundee.
Dundee?
Dundee.
Actually, do you have the weirdest thing about Dundee accent is? It is an actual accent. It's they're the only place in the world that call fucking roundabout circles. Don't get it. So fucking.
Do weird. They?
Yeah, I remember being there my first week and I was like, excuse me, pal, do you care where this is? And he's like, oh, right, you go past the first circle, and in the second circle, you turn right. And I was like, the what? I didn't know what he was talking about. And I realised he meant roundabout. Like, oh, right.
Yeah, it's the couple of the big ones even have, they're not called such and such roundabout.
Yeah, like they're called would be here, circle.
They're such and such circle. It's mental.
Like on the Kingsway.
Yeah.
Jocelyn,
never change.
Jocelyn was talking about when she, because we met in Scotland, so a few months in, she was talking about how she thought the Scottish language was so weird because, you know, we would say words like courgette and aubergine, but then we'd also say, I'll have some red sauce or I'll have some brown sauce.
That's a very fair point.
Yeah.
And obviously, if you're from East Coast, it's brown sauce. So,
yeah. Oh yeah,
yeah. Brown sauce, and your fish doesn't have the bloody skin on it before it gets battered.
When I lived in Glasgow, you had to seek out the chippies that had brown sauce, because some of them they would give you sachets, and
of HP as well.
Yeah, HP sachets. I was like, are you having a fucking laugh? Like. Like, I want watery, watered-in brown sauce.
The most vinegary brown sauce you ever have. It's pretty much 80% vinegar and 10% brown sauce and 10% God knows what.
And I want vinegar on my chips as well, like not just like.
Exactly. Yeah.
I want salt, vinegar, and brown sauce, which has a ton of fucking vinegar in it.
You don't want to taste anything but vinegar when you're eating this.
Yeah. Doubling down on the vinegar. What are the Canadians like for their fish and chips?
Do they even have fish and chips?
They do, yeah, yeah. You got to go. There's like a. They don't call them chippies; they call them fish fries. So they, there's one in Haliburton where I'm kind of sort of living at the moment, mm-hmm. and it's pretty good. It's all right. I'm not a massive fish fan, so I don't normally go for it, unless I'm in Anstruther, and then I have the fish and chips. That's the only place I'll ever have, like, I want fish and chips. Apparently, it's really good out east, but again, I don't really eat it, so.
Yeah, fair enough.
I prefer a sausage supper.
East yeah, I'm usually a sausage fish. Supper as well, unless... I mean, Anstruther, and then it's like a lemon sole batter or something. That's a fucking man. Shit right there.
Yeah, now you're talking.
Nice.
Battered lemon sole is just sublime, sublime.
It's good, it's good for the soul.
Ha, boom. Shit, banter, ahoy! what was I thinking? Yeah, one other question I do have to ask. We've kind of covered on points of it, but as an immigrant stealing hard-working Canadian jobs,
yes.
Do you get flack for it, or do you get a pass because, you know, you're white and speak a bit English?
Kutch has gone all Daily Mail on you.
I haven't received any sort of, like, animosity, so I'm thinking... I think I get a pass. I don't think that's not good. No, I mean I've only just acquired the visa, and I certainly did not work before then.
Let's make that clear.
Under no circumstances did I work pre-permanent residency. I'm just making it clear, you know.
Like. Yeah, well, apart from stealing, you know, the hard-working jobs of other husbands of leisure.
That's a good point.
In Canada.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, yeah, I definitely cornered the market there.
Yeah, I have to say, I think we were all sitting here quite jealous of you just dicking about for, yeah, a year.
It was great. I didn't do absolutely nothing all year. I did the odd episode, which wasn't really that I should have done. I should be doing more of them. I met up with a friend who's actually today, who's visiting, that I knew from like when I lived in Edinburgh years ago. He's over visiting just now, and I met up with him today, and he was like, you need to be doing more episodes, and you need to get like Final Cut Pro, and you need to get a Canon camera, and all this. I was getting all sorts of advice, and I should, but now that I have my residency, I should probably get a job.
You could monetize it.
Well, I try, but I've only got 25 subscribers. 25 devoted, lovely subscribers. I'm very, very happy I have.
You're not far away from what we've got. I think a few weeks ago we had about 44 downloads.
That was a tough week.
Yeah. I think we're up on the numbers this week.
Let's blame Penman since he wasn't here.
Yeah. Everybody comes from Penman. Star attraction. Mark Penman.
I don't think... Now, I might be wrong because my memory is terrible, but I don't think I've actually ever met Mark Penman in person.
You must have.
You probably will have had.
Yeah, but you'd probably both been drunk. That's probably
the... I know that... I feel like I know him really well because every story Jamie ever tells is like, one time me and Penman. That's how they all start. So I feel like I know Penman really well, but... I can't remember. I was probably hammered in Harlem and we've cut about the dance floor.
Yeah, it's most likely in those situations, but it's the amount of times like everybody's been out, there's no way you've not. There's no way. with anybody in Fife, there's no way you've not.
same with Beatty. I feel like I've heard so many stories about him, but I can't remember ever meeting him in person. But he like they might know better. Like I say, my memory's fucking terrible, so.
In fairness, though, you're not missing anything with B. Love you, honey bun. but yeah, it's. I think it's. it's always interesting, the links and connections, mm. especially on things like Nights Out and that, that there's,
oh, again, yeah.
There's loads of people that, like, at my work, that have come up to me and said, oh, yeah, you're da-da-da-da and da-da-da, and I'm looking at them like, I have no idea who you are, but yeah. you know who I am because it's, like, through Jamie, or it's mm. through Mark, or it's through, you know, there's links all over the place.
It's that 6 degrees of separation thing. It is, yeah. But in Dunfermline, especially, it's much less. And you could probably get with one or two, and you yeah. probably know them right away.
Yeah.
Like, you know a guy who knows a guy.
I can't avoid it.
But it's always that thing when somebody comes up to you and says, oh, you're from there, do you know da da da? And you're like, I'm not. Oh, well, actually, wait, no, I do know them. Yeah, you're right. And in fact, I'm related to them. And oh, wait, one, two. Oh, Christ, here we go. Welcome to Fife.
We're for Fife.
Oh, don't. Listen and you'll hear it.
Oh, fortune.
If folk out there that are not from Fife, there was a really horrible internet ad campaign for Fife.
For Fife.
Yeah, and I think it was made by the college, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I had a big argument with Gray about what's Grape Shield's surname now? It's not Shield, something else.
Sharp, thank you.
Grape Sharp. Love Grape, but we just, like, I said I thought it was a bit of shit, and we had this big argument about it. But I think we'd had a lot of tequila, so I think that was the factor in that.
Jamie, was this, now, I don't know if this is you, but someone took the song and put it up on YouTube, but with all, like, the really crap things
around. Graham Bell.
but then was it not like there was going to be a lawsuit and stuff unless they didn't take it down or something?
Yeah, I think they got a cease and desist or something. It's like, yeah, just like,
it's like, we're for Fife, and then they're all in like Rex Park and stuff.
And they're going along outside the ballroom when it was, you know, and all that on a Saturday night, everything's wasted at like 3 a.m. It's good. I loved it.
I don't know.
Yeah,
does sound like something I'd do with Doogie. So
it might be you. I think it was probably you that just showed me it. Rather than...
Yes,
and then in my head I was like, "Oh, Jamie, he did that."
It's yeah, that was horrible. See, properly horrible.
At the time I said it was horrible, but I get in my head every so often. It obviously did its fucking job, didn't
it? Yeah,
it's so catchy. Bad. It's good.
We're 4-5. No. I don't know if we've got anything else to talk about at the moment. Any other questions for our
you've obviously done a lot over the past year, travelling around Canada, being a husband of leisure. Strange question, but what's the most Canadian thing that you've done while there?
Oh,
have you felled a tree?
No, I haven't.
Have you sucked from the teat of a maple tree?
That's how you get your Canadian citizenship, mate. He had to do it to get permanent residence.
Yeah, you have to do that while you're singing the national anthem.
Good national anthem, actually.
It is.
It's
to the point.
It's a second tier national anthem. It's good.
I would advise, though, unless you want to hear both the English and the French versions in their entirety, don't say the words "Oh Canada" near a Canadian. Even if you just start it, you go "Oh Canada," they just carry on and they finish the whole, and then they go "Now in French," and then they sing it all in French as well.
Oh, we should have known that from when we saw Glenn Wool. That would be perfect.
That'll change when Quebec leaves, though. So, which is just a matter of time, not if. Sorry, any Canadians listening.
Yeah. I've actually been like questioned a couple of times about my thoughts on that, because obviously with the Scottish referendum, and then they're like, oh, Quebec wanted to leave, like, what are your thoughts on that? And I'm like, I don't know, like, I don't know. It was, I was like, I don't want to tread on any toes here, so I'm just going to stay silent.
But I don't know enough about it either. I was just going to say that France seems to be kind of like Australia, and that each territory is very independent anyway, like culturally, for, you know, quite different, but
anyway, to answer your question, the most Canadian thing I've ever done, I don't know, maybe like camping's a huge thing over here, so like I don't know, but it's not, I suppose it's not a quintessential Canadian thing. I don't know. Drank lots of beer and ate some poutine. That was the time I fought off a grizzly. Yeah. Oh, you know,
that you just felled a tree with. A maple tree.
I mean, I don't really like to talk about that, but that bear had it coming again.
Fuck that bear.
Did it ever come across actually, I'm going to keep that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Gonna keep that one warm.
You built this up too much now. It's going to be shit, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do people in Canada care much for anything that happens in Scotland or the UK? Do you ever get asked anything like that, or is it pretty much just like there and whatnot?
There was a whole Brexit thing. Like a lot of people were speaking about that. I actually moved to Canada the day that Theresa May got sworn in.
Oh, it's your fault.
The damage
was done. I was it all kind of happened, and then I was at the airport and I was saying bye to mom and dad, and it was all very sad, but my dad's like, I think you're doing the right thing, son. given the current state of things. But no, like a lot of people would ask me about, you know, Brexit and and I don't know, they kind of compare it. I think their opinions of it are that it shouldn't have happened and all that sort of stuff. Like they're very much, they kind of akin it to the whole Trump thing as well. They kind of put it a little bit side by side of Brexit and Trump.
Yeah, well, I think everybody does. It's a sort of very similar sort of situations that seem to have caused these things to happen. Don't know.
We'll see.
Yeah. So I think we'll wrap this up and then maybe go for a little trip on El Goodleship Fife Club. let's head out into the Atlantic. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Radio 4. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Desert Island Dicks. We are back on the island. How did we get there this time?
Oh dear God.
I never left.
I was going to say jet ski, but that's too American, not Canadian, so. I don't know.
Did we hit rocks again? I don't know.
We're doing something really Canadian. We're going out seal clubbing.
Oh yes!
/ building oil pipelines.
all while riding a moose.
yes. And then we crashed. The seals got their own back on us and pushed us over.
Oil dicks. Yeah. That's why you needed clubbing in the first place.
So anyway, we've washed up on the island. This fucking island. it's your first time here, Dougie. How does it feel?
It's a bit hot.
temperate.
It's temperate.
When you're from Quebec, everywhere's hot though. So
it's very true.
It's lovely. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there we're here again, and this week we are going to discuss what Canadian thing we would bring to the island, seeing as it's a bit of a theme.
I have a question about the desert island.
Yeah.
So, is it the same desert island that has collectively all the things you've brought to it previously? Or is it a new island?
Pretty much the same fucking island.
we're this just, honey badger is somewhere.
Yeah, we're just really fucking stupid.
Well, can I kick off from that?
Yeah?
Mentioning a honey badger. Yeah. I fear of a honey badger.
Yeah, yeah. We all do.
So
Dave does not have that thing under control.
So with me, I have brought... He also enjoys a bit of seal clubbing, I'm sure. I brought with me the French Canadian former UFC welterweight champion, George St. Pierre. Like I said earlier, it's racist, but he's white, so it's fine.
Oh, fuck.
And so I brought George St. Pierre, who will wrestle the honey badger to the ground, lie on top of him for 25 minutes, and occasionally punch him. And
wow.
Yeah.
And criticise his performance in the meantime.
Yes, I was not impressed with your performance. It's a famous line. So yeah, that's to neutralise a honey badger so I can get my fucking heroin trade back up and running. And I'm gonna feed the animals these fucking seal pups that would have clubbed to death as well.
So you've not so much brought an object, but you've brought a heavy.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he's my right hand man.
GSP is your plantation heavy.
Yeah, he'll sort you out and get hit far too much later in his career, and then think he should come back anyway. That's it. Oh, and he's also he also has missing time as well, and thinks he should fight again. It's like, mate, if you're actually missing time, he's like, oh no, it is aliens. It's like, it's not aliens, George. It's you getting hit in the fucking head too much. So that's a liability. He might just black out at some point in the middle of fighting a honey badger. I didn't think about that. Shit.
Well, so he has a big fight coming up against Michael Bisping in November. So what are you going to do when he disappears for that training camp and he's got to go into that fight? I mean, you're
defenseless. No, you don't understand. This is his way out of that fight.
All right, you're getting him out of this.
Yeah.
So you're technically sort of doing like community care with him. You
know, yeah.
Getting him away from fighting now.
Yeah.
Like rehab.
He's going to fake a USADA violation and then...
Or you'll make sure there's a USADA violation.
I said, mate, you can come out to this island
with your own heroin.
If you can take out the honey badger, you can live like a fucking king. And he was like, well, I only lived in one of the most developed countries in the world.
Wait a minute, I was a millionaire. You've got to do the accent.
I only lived in one of the most developed countries in the world. We've lots of money. Buy Under Armour stuff.
He sounds like a computer from every 80s movie ever.
Don't say about George, that's not very nice.
Oh wow.
So yeah,
well, I've got something else as well, because it's kind of funny, but Canada seems to be the place that's going to save us from this fucking honey badger, because I'm thinking protection as well. I'm bringing a fucking caribou with me.
Oh, wow.
A caribou?
Yeah, a caribou, because it's like a deer on steroids.
That's a deer with no USADA program whatsoever. Yeah, yeah.
It is. They are truly terrifying animals. They're huge, and, like, unless you've got a fairly big rifle, yeah, you're not going to mess with one. It'll go through you. It'll go through everything. It'll go through the honey badger, spike it, toss it about. That honey badger's dead.
Are you not worried? Because
I feel like...
Sorry, Diggy, on you go.
No, I feel like a caribou would probably just get pissed off if you shot it with a rifle.
Yeah, I think actually that's probably more the chance. I know a story of one of my cousin's mates had... moved out to Canada and were on a road trip as well, and out way out in the middle of nowhere, and caribou just straight out in front of the car. He collided into the car, broke a leg, wrote off the car, and the caribou walked away. The car was just absolutely destroyed, and the caribou just walked.
I have seen a video of, I think it was a caribou, it might have been a moose, but I think it was a caribou getting drunk off of apples.
Oh, wow. just like rotting.
I think I've seen. Yeah, I've seen that video as well.
And it just it was stuck in a tree, wasted because it was just stuck in like the V of a tree, just off his face on cider, essentially. Like, yeah. So you got to watch out for that. Better hope there's no orchards on the island. Well, I've got. Oh fuck! I've got some orchards in the Glen.
Yeah.
Shit. My plantation.
Yeah. Your plantation. Yeah. Your cocoa.
Yeah, man. Oh shit, I didn't think about that.
Yeah, so we've got the honey badger that's fucking off its face on mushrooms.
We could introduce a tag team element, because I was worried that GSP by himself might not be able to take out the honey badger. But GSP and the caribou is like a Canadian tag team championship. And they can take on the fucking ham.
That'd be an interesting clothesline as well.
Just grab it by the horn and just pull it towards it.
Slam it about.
You just hold on the horn and the caribou's just swinging GSP around with its fucking head.
GSP will put some Vaseline on his back. A joke for old school UFC fans.
I did think that there is another practical application to a caribou, because it's going to be my pal. I'm going to have trained it. You know, it's going to be imprinted on me. It's going to be from a little thing. Because, well, stole it from its mother and ran like fuck.
Oh, it was getting raised by those seal puffs. So a seal puff. Sorry, I don't know why. I don't know why I find it so funny. Sorry.
I don't know why you hate seal puffs so much.
Wow,
you were wronged. had a bad childhood experience.
Was that Tom Bombasil?
It was Tom Bombasil. Thanks very much.
Did something bad happen to you when you worked at Deep Sea World?
I don't want to talk about it. I went to get the fish and what happened? Doesn't matter.
But yeah, no, my practical application is that, you know, I'll be able to ride it about and get it to do some heavy lifting for me. Because I originally had the pig that was going to have, you know, that carry stuff and, you know, wander about the island with me. But I think the caribou would actually be a bit more, sort of a bit more bulk and grunt to it. So, you know, if you're needing shit moved on the,
plantation,
we'll just get the caribou along.
We'll get a caribou addicted to heroin as well. And it can work for heroin.
That's how it stays with
yes!
us.
Yes!
Amazing. So yeah, that's my choice. James?
Well, I've kind of come prepared the names of protection as well. Also, you know, we've been on desert islands. I've been used to honey badgers and also desert island dicks using sabotage against fellow islanders. So I'm going to protect myself in one simple way. I'm going to come in hockey padding and a hockey stick. So that, because I don't trust any of you guys. I don't trust GSP to not climb on top of me. I don't trust a honey badger to eat the fuck out of me. And I certainly don't trust a roided up caribou to get me to detect me in any way. I'm going to hide for this situation.
Fair enough. It's
do you have a hockey stick as well?
I have the hockey stick as well. Good. Well, I was coming to beat some seals, so you know.
You're basically Casey Jones from the Turtles.
Yep.
Nice.
A less physically fit Casey Jones. I'll run 20 yards and then run out of breath, let alone try like backflip over something. It's never going
to happen. Yeah. You're gonna have hockey pucks with you as well.
Yeah. See, that's a good idea because that kind of keeps everyone at range.
Well, you've got to have a net as well just to move it. So it looks like we're gonna score. Fucking cheating bastards every time.
I mean, the hockey puck solved my GSP problem because he's not gonna fight at range. He's a close up guy. He wrestles, so I'm just gonna keep hitting him with pucks.
I don't know. He might give you on the end of his jab.
Your ugly bugs cannot save you for long, child. I will be on top of you soon.
That was almost Rastafarian.
I was going to say it was kind of more like New Orleans, kind of. Are you going to have a strip of ice rink with you as well?
Yeah, see.
Or are you just going to be in the gear?
See, I was just going to be in the gear. I think having the ice rink would be a bit of a logistical nightmare. So I've got to try and work it out as it works for me. So I'll kind of...
If you trap the honey badger in a ball, right? And hook it up to, like, a makeshift generator. You could get enough electricity to power the refrigeration.
And whatever we bring, all Canadians can...
can ice skate from birth as well. Yeah. So, so they'll have the advantage over the honey badgers as long as they keep it on the ice.
That's it. We've got to try and force that issue. Yeah. But again, that'll come into your plantation. We need some friends to work on that.
At the very least, you should at least have your skates with you. Just because they're going to be sharp as anything.
Oh, holy, that's a good idea. Yeah. You could wear them on your hands like razors. Like a ship.
I was going to say, like, yeah. Like.
Little did we know that James, when he had the his hands in some hockey boots, got bitten by the radioactive honey badger.
It's all just
and became a honey badger. And the bits got moulded into his skin. He became really, really fucking aggro all the time. And he took to wearing tight spandex.
James the honey badger.
That's a Photoshop for you right there, Coach.
You've made my work very easy this week. Oh wow, that is a sight to behold. it's not hockey gear, it's spandex hockey gear. Yeah. Beautiful. Doogie, have you thought of anything yet?
I was going to bring a moose, but since you're bringing a caribou, I feel like it might be a bit redundant. So with a quick Google of Canadian inventions, I decided that what I am going to bring is a Wonder Bra.
That is fantastic, Doogie.
Which was a...
I cannot wait to see how you're using this.
Well, think about it, right? So you got your Wonder Bra, right? Developed in Canada by Moses Mo Nadler or something like that.
Great name.
Think about it, right? Make sure you get a nice big one, so you can like you can store things in the cups.
The coconuts.
You could like attach the straps to trees and use it as like a rudimentary slingshot. You could
work with James's hockey pucks.
Yeah, that's all good,
aren't you? Yeah, like a hockey puck storage unit. Yeah, and if it started raining, you could just put one of the cups on your head to keep your hair dry.
And you could share it with a friend.
You could share it with a friend, yeah.
You could
just a couple of lads on the island wearing a Wonder Bra as a hat.
You could have a wee side business of renting it out to my animals on my plantation as a double hammock.
Yeah, or you could use it to
how big is this bra?
Well, animals of all sizes working on my plantation. So.
I see. So you've got
you can maybe
from
you can maybe up. Use it.
Yeah. So you're basically
you can maybe use it as scales, Jimmy.
What was that? Sorry,
I said you can maybe use it as scales for like your product.
Okay. Good actually. Oh, I could use it to smuggle product off the island.
Of course.
I could just create a model of heroin in a woman's shape and then put the bra on it and say it's a dummy for a shot, be an expert. Oh, God, Dougie, yes. Bring your Wonder Bra.
I'm afraid it's going to cost you an extortionate amount to use it, though.
Whoa.
A man's got to have a business.
So what are you going to trade it for is the question. There's no money on the island.
I don't know, maybe some like rodent servants.
Yeah, I'll get a few servants. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is this turning into a fucking Disney cut? Got this image of you with your Wonder Bra like floating around with birds and rodents at your feet, tidying up and cleaning up after you.
Drinking port out of one of the cups.
Oh, that is. Yep, that's another Photoshop done. Sorry, thank you.
So I would bring the Wonder Bra.
Yeah, that really does have tons of applications on the island, doesn't it? Yeah. Could
so versatile.
You could trap the honey badger in it, or blind the honey badger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Planet,
I'm
yeah.
pretty sure
yeah.
if I put a Wonder Bra on, I could have a decent set.
A decent
side earner for me.
I was just going to say, are you going to be the action on the island?
Yeah. Yeah, you need it.
Yeah. I've got needs.
Everyone has needs.
Jamie Supply.
You're a ruthless businessman, Jamie. No. Plantation, you're turning tracks now. No. What's going on?
For no. somebody that's like pretty much an all out communist.
Yeah, it's
you,
true.
You've pretty much.
Jamie Brown, you are an inspiration.
You have single handedly started capitalism and trade on the island.
Yeah, well, you know. I need to do that to develop to full communism. Go through the stages because there's nothing there.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Tyrant to hero as this yeah. process goes on.
You know, just like Stalin. He was. Oh, wait a minute. That turned out so well. Whatever.
Yes.
Kim Jong Un. Oh.
Yeah. Every example.
Well,
if you start a missile
program.
I was just going to say, wait.
You start a missile program, we're going to have some words
to At what point does your nuclear program start and where is your material coming from?
Well, I extract it from the blood of our radioactive superhero. The honey badger. Name's the honey badger.
Is there going to be enough?
Oh, yeah. Over time.
That's why you have a superhero. He's a series arc who's going to get constantly captured by this man.
Yeah. And I'm going to use Doogie's bra to hurl a bit of plutonium in each cup. And then I'll hurl it towards wherever my enemy is. And then just before it reaches it, the two bits will collide in the atmosphere, creating a nuclear bomb.
Wow, that is
rudimentary.
That is proper.
I don't know, mate. If you want to put plutonium in my cups, it's going to cost you extra.
That's only fair. I'm sure we could come to some sort of arrangement.
I'm just thinking it's probably about as advanced as the North Korean nuclear yeah. program anyway.
Yeah.
So
yeah, fair enough.
Well, that... I think that brings us to a close from our trip to the island this week. I think I might try and turn my caribou upside down and gut it and use it as a canoe to get out of the island this time. Might be
Doogie did to leave his homeland of Scotland. Escape while you can.
You upturned a red deer, gutted it, and canoed your way. That's impressive, man. I did not know that.
Using a Wonder Bra.
That's the most Canadian thing I've ever done.
Yeah, once you make your own canoe, then I think we'll bow down. Is that
yeah? I think they would just hand me citizenship. Like, oh, there you go, mate. Make my own canoe.
Yeah.
Possibly. You never know. I mean, I reckon. I remember like when I was in Cubs. And we went to like on a trip. They just try and get you to make your own raft, or some sort of like out of like these drums in wood. And I'm pretty sure mine never worked. So I don't know. I don't know how good the old canoe making skills would be.
And hence why we're on this bloody island.
Sorry, lads. Couldn't get my knots right.
Bro. Right, okay, well, that's that done. I really need off that island. I forgot to ask, did you get us a legend?
Yes.
Yes. Would you like to talk about this? We're going to take a wee trip to Lumphinnans to our Fife Legends Hall of Fame. We've not been there in a while, it's a wee bit dusty. I think we need to get Mark in on that, seeing as he's not doing anything this week. But yeah, while we're there, Doogie, do you have a legend for us?
I do have a legend. I was worried about the legitimacy of, like, is this person legend enough? But then when you inducted Clive the Peacock.
hey, don't you say any bad words about that fucking hero.
God rest his soul, God rest his soul. this person is obviously from Fife, and it's Jim Leishman.
Oh, yes. Fair enough.
So I was doing a bit of researching on him. Born in Lochgelly in 1953. Mm-hmm. He was a player for Dunfermline Athletic, from 1970 to 1977. He scored 4 goals. Uh-huh. one of which was a winner against Rangers, which apparently he tells everyone. from there he moved on to Cowdenbeath, which was apparently a little bit of a not very nice move. From the Pirates to the Cowdenbeath. Yeah. And then he got injured and had to kind of stop playing. So he became a coach. He was a coach for Kelty Hearts Junior. And then later on, sorry, this is all straight off the Wikipedia page.
Hey, that is fine. That's how we roll. Fuck you, Mags.
as well, so double fuck you.
Yeah, Mags. Double fuck you, Mags. We'll pay for it the next time she's on.
I think I can hear her from here. and then when he was 28 in 1982, he became the manager for the Pirates, took them from the second division to the Premier League. He was the manager twice, 1982 to 1990, and then 2005 and 2006. Yeah. 2007, he was given an MBE for services to sports. Mm-hmm. And in 2008, he got a street named after him in Dunfermline.
Ah, I did not know that.
Neither did I. I'd like to know where it is. I've no idea.
Well, the Lord Provost, isn't he?
Yeah.
He is. In 2012, he was elected as a councillor for Dunfermline Central. Mm-hmm. And then, like, the next week, they made him the Provost of Fife.
Yeah. He's one of those, like local celebrity councillors, isn't he?
Yeah, it's a bit unfair for him running for council because he's, like, Mr. Dunfermline, isn't he? So,
yeah, he's, like, so loved in Dunfermline. Like, kind of beyond that though, like I kind of came from like a kind of youth, a kind of community theatre, like growing up, mm-hmm. Like Carnegie Youth Theatre and Limelight and all these kind of different places all around the Fife area, and his wife Mary was also like well into all the Amdram.
Yeah, totally.
And in 2009 she actually passed away, and he set up a charity called the Mary Leishman Foundation. Mm-hmm. Him and a few other people, and so they do lots of stuff for like kind of people and like different kind of things around Scotland and Fife. So like, you know, they kind of raise money and donated to Prostate Scotland, they donate to NHS Fife, they raise money to fly a Scottish family to visit their daughter in Italy. They give grants to actors, like people who want to become actors, so like to Fife College and stuff for the theatre programmes, and so they do loads of really, really cool, amazing stuff, and it was him that in her memory he started this. And so I thought that coupled with his stardom in Dunfermline and Fife in general, I thought that he'd be an ideal person for the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, yeah. I think he also.
I've met him twice. Oh. And the first time was in the Tron in Edinburgh during the Fringe, and I thought, hey, that's Jim Leishman. I'm gonna go say hello, and he talks to you like he's known you for years. So I'm like, hey Jim, how's it going? He's like, hello there, pal. How are you getting on? And he's chatting to him for ages, and he was like going to see a show or something like that. And then the second time I saw him was I was choreographing a number for a charity event that he was in, and he was doing it. They were doing Pick a Pocket or Two from Oliver.
All right.
And he was going to play. He was going to be Fagin in it, and so they had all the kids kind of stealing things out of his pockets and stuff. And he was like so full of like he'd never done like the theater was Mary's thing, and he was never really involved in it. But then he kind of came in and did all this thing, and he had loads of ideas, and he brought the medallion thing. Uh-huh. As the Provost of Fife, and he was like, oh, so the, you know, he was like, oh, the kids, you know, they could steal off me and all this sort of stuff. And he has like, there was a security guard who was there for this medallion because it was worth like, I think he said that the chain was 10 grand, and the actual like medallion bit was something like 25 grand worth. And he was just like, oh yeah, so the kids, they could like kind of, I could turn around and then they could just steal it off my neck, you know? And I was like, this guy's cool as anything. So I thought Jim Leishman deserves a spot.
Yeah.
And that is my absolutely. Hall of Famer.
Yeah, that's totally, and Mags will be absolutely ecstatic because it's not somebody from Kirkcaldy. Yeah. So far, it's mostly been Kirkcaldy hikes that have been going in.
I think the Leishman Foundation donated bought tie pads for Muay Thai Club in Glenroe Office Devils Rising Phoenix because it costs, you need to buy a lot of them, costs a lot bit to help them get started. I'm pretty sure it was Bear Foundation
it's kind of cool to have a sort of an organisation like that that have a sort of wee pot of money for things in Fife. It's kind of cool.
For like, you know, it doesn't have to be a massive grand gesture. Like something on the kind of lower level can just means so much to like a business or to like a family or anything.
Yeah.
I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, no, I'm totally down with that, and it's nice to see another Dunfermline night.
Mm.
And a living Dunfermline night as well.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. A living legend.
Is he
the first? Oh no, we had the singing kettle, didn't we? I was going to say, was he the first? Yeah.
Stevie Ray.
Stevie.
Of course, they show how much attention I've been paying to this show.
That's a fair few. We are. Thank you very much for bringing another legend to us, Dougie. We are going to get back in on this. I think what we're looking to do is maybe do it every second week along with Desert Island Dicks, because usually that takes us not as long as maybe a Fight Club to go through, and then it just means we've got enough time to tag that on at the end. And it's nice to do it because we all learn something, even if it is just reading from Wikipedia, because we're learning. That wasn't aimed at Mags at all.
It's all education.
You added in your personal touch to it as well, though, Dougie. So.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah,
thank you.
Definitely.
Right. No bother.
Well, do we have anything else to say today?
Nah.
Oh, it's socials, Jamie.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, we have fuck, not, I didn't even do one.
You've done a whole show.
Not even socials.
Hey, I managed it well. Well, you were away. I got them in twice.
Oh, fucking hell. Well, that's because I usually go this and you usually go, I will do them later.
Yeah. And, then and whereas I was like, need to do the socials because Jamie's not here.
So,
it was weird.
Please speak to us. And, you know, we do like the interaction as well. It's good. So do that on facebook.com/fiveclubpod or at fiveclubpod, Twitter at fiveclub, email ken@fiveclub.co.uk, Instagram fiveclub, or get us on our website at www.fiveclub.co.uk, where you can also find the podcast.
Yes, perfect. Actually, there is one last thing I do want to say. Mentioned them before, Face Punching Kevin Smith.
Oh yeah,
podcast. From a couple of guys based in Scotland, who went through all of Kevin Smith's films and got progressively pissed. They reviewed beers as well, beers and ciders at the same time, progressively pissed throughout the podcast, and usually to hilarious effect, and interesting conversations. The conversations are not too dissimilar from what we talk about. They just let it flow, basically, and have the movies as the
kind of...
Have the movie as the centre point. Anyway, they did the whole Kevin Smith thing. They went through all the films. They came to an end of that. They have just started their second season, and they are now doing Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah.
And they're going through his back
catalogue. And I'm actually thinking I need to catch up on series one and then listen to this one.
Because the first one's
If you've not listened to the other series, this one's quite a good jumping off point for the series, because they've kind of change one or two things and explain it again and
go. Starting with Reservoir Dogs, though. What? Yeah, True Romance. It's an interesting... I know he only wrote that, but...
They're only doing his directed films.
To be fair, he's...
talking about the director. So.
To be fair, he's done, like, what, 9 films or something?
So, well, 4 Rooms make it into there? Because he directed part of that film.
Possibly.
He's also directed part of some of Rodriguez's films as well.
Yeah. So I don't know exactly how they're going to do that, but
I'll listen anyway.
The first episode's absolute cracking. It's a good start to the series. Nice bunch of guys as well. They're interacting with us and chatting with them on Twitter, Facebook, and whatnot. So good work, guys, if you're listening as well. If we're keeping you sane on drives to Aberdeen, you're fucked already. But yeah, keep up the good work. Think that's it, really, isn't it? Yeah.
Can I plug myself?
Yes, that's definitely.
I plug myself.
Sorry. I'm in a singing mood tonight. I don't know.
Is she not?
Oh, is she?
Is she?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh.
Shania I'll take 20. Her to it.
That's not Shania Twain.
Who was that? That was...
I don't want... Oh,
yeah, no, she isn't.
No.
I was thinking of Shania Twain. Is she Canadian?
Maybe.
Shania Twain is Canadian.
Is she? Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, our resident Canadian expert.
really
cutch. No bother.
Really cutch. That don't impress me much, okay?
Oh. No. No, we're not going back here. I forgot Shania Twain was on the island.
Don't get me wrong, do you? I think you're... plug yourself senseless, do you?
Just come watch my videos. I'm a husband of leisure. They're not weekly, but I've got like loads of stuff for my road trip, so I'm going to be pumping out maybe split it into two episodes because I've got quite a lot of stuff. But yeah, come and watch my videos, maybe leave some comments and chat to me. And if anyone has any ideas of like what an episode, if you want me to do anything, I'm open to ideas and. You know,
yeah, I really liked one of those early ones that you did where you tested out the beer. You had Canadian beer and you had Scottish beer. I think I was kind of way back at the beginning.
I need to do more of that. That particular episode was basically just a glorified Fife Club plug. Because every time before I upload every episode, I show it to Jocelyn. So I'm like, "Is this good?" And then she's like. That's got nothing to do with what you're drinking, is it? And I'm like, nope.
We appreciate it.
But yeah, I want to do some more comparison ones. Like, and if you've got any kind of comparisons in mind, one I am going to do is poutine and chips, cheese, and gravy.
Oh, I think I've never had poutine, but it looks pretty banging, to be fair. So yeah. I think
poutine is basically chips, cheese, and gravy, but they use cheese curds and not cheese. So I might do a little taste test, but I'll need to find somewhere that does chips, cheese, and gravy.
Because I'll be like, do you mean poutine? No.
I'm like, no, I might actually have to make my own.
Chips, cheese, and gravy, yeah. Nice. What's the Canadian equivalent of Iron Brew? Is there like a particular Canadian type of fizzy pop?
Where's Mountain Dew from?
I think that's American. They have that here. Yeah. They have very North American thing, so they got like root beer and I don't know, maybe I could do like a Caesar and a Bloody Mary or something.
That'd be good.
Yeah.
Just get hammered.
Which one makes me feel better the most.
What else was like you could do Stevens versus Tim Hortons, but that would mean us having to a steak Brady and a donut.
That would not survive a trip.
But that, you know.
Tim Hortons, have you been to the one in Glasgow yet?
Yes, it's amazing.
We went after we went to the UFC.
Yeah.
In the morning. Yeah, it was good.
It's hilarious. Like, the coffee is so bad. But it's like, people love it, like they go mad for it over here, and it's I suppose it's a bit like McDonald's in the sense that, you know, McDonald's is not a gourmet burger. You know exactly what you're gonna get. It's like Tim Hortons isn't a fancy coffee, you know exactly what, but every like double which is tastes the same, you know, no matter where you have it.
I think, yeah, because that was the thing that kind of surprised me, is that it is essentially like a McDonald's in the way that, like, they do the breakfasts and everything like that. It's very similar to, like, a McDonald's
McMuffin, you know, egg McMuffin and stuff like that.
That's what
it was perfect for what we needed that morning.
Yeah, that's the word on my product in the island as well. It's the same every time you get it, consistent. Smack. Happy days. There you go.
Boom.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Don't sell workforce.
Quick Canada fact. Oh. Canada leads the world in consumption of donuts.
Really?
Really?
Wow. I would have thought
you'd think it'd be America.
Yeah.
But it's not. Like, apparently Canadians eat more donuts than any other country in the world.
I'm pretty sure that it's either Canada or Russia is the biggest export market for Iron Brew as well.
It's Russia.
Is it Russia? And then it's Canada because
it's Russia.
My cousin like, I think he was born in Canada and then lived here for a bit as a teenager and then moved back, but whenever he comes here, he's like taking back a crate of Iron Brew with him.
Oh, God. Is there not something about, like, in America, Iron Brew is illegal, or it's at least frowned upon?
It's Sunset Yellow.
It's one of flavouring.
Because it's actually illegal here as well.
Yeah.
But it's got protected status under EU law, I think it is. Because it's that and Lucozade.
Yeah. That Iron Brew lobby.
Have that, have this colour in Sunset Yellow. And it's apparently, like one of the main proponents to making kids absolutely mental. But it is illegal, but they have a pass on it because it's part of their secret recipe. And they say
it's part of our culture, mate. The secret recipe, the Iron Brew that nobody knows, is part of our culture.
So we're gonna ban Iron Brew. Here are you, pal. You're being culturally insensitive.
I do love our little wanderings. Fair enough.
I really want some Iron Brew now.
Well, sorry. Iron Brew and scones.
I have to go on a pilgrimage.
Is there anywhere nearby that sells Iron Brew? Have you found?
There's like a British shop kind of round the corner from where I am right now in Toronto. Mm-hmm. I know they do Tunnock's tea cakes and caramel wafers.
That's pretty good.
Which is great. And anytime like my mother and father-in-law like pass the shop, they go in and they get me some. It's great. Just in case I'm missing home, they'll bring me some Tunnock's tea cakes. I forgot to mention one of the things I found about Canada.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only country I know of or that I've been to where they have Scottish themed pubs.
Oh.
Like everywhere in the world, you'll find an Irish bar.
I can't even think what a Scottish themed pub is.
I don't want to ruin your.
It is a lot of. It's a lot of tartan.
I don't want to ruin your fact, Dougie, but I went to one in Rome. And
have you found one in Rome? Rome?
And we tried there was a Scottish international game on, and they were like, oh, we're not showing it because we're showing the Italian rugby. And we were like, but you're a Scottish themed pub. And they were like, no, we're showing the Italian rugby. So we went to this Irish bar that was showing us. Yeah. Fuckers.
Ah. See, I thought it was so strange. And it, like when I first got here, I was like, oh, I'll have to go in there. And they have tenants. And so I was like, oh, I'll have a pint of tenants, please.
Oh, my God. When you're so homesick, you're having pints of tenants.
Oh. Literally every single time I'm in Scotland, like even when I was living in London, whenever I came home, if I went to the pub, I always had a pint of tenants first. Just to get out of the way. And then move on to a better beer.
Like alcoholic Iron Brew.
Yeah.
lovely. Yeah. Right, well, yeah, we are going to call it a close because that's really fucking late. Yeah.
What time is it?
Quarter past
Jesus,
midnight
right
here, anyway. I don't know what time it is there in fake timeland.
Quarter past seven?
It's early.
You'll need to let me know what happens in the future.
We're sitting here, James naked. I don't know why.
Oh, well, me too.
I'm trying to picture myself on a Wonder Bra.
Oh, I'm gonna have to get a 5-cod printed Wonder Bra for
you.
Yeah. Amazing. Right.
Nice. This is getting too sexy for my liking.
It is that time of the night. I have to ask. Doogie, go and give us a model for this week. Oh,
Dude, I had a thought that you might ask me, and I thought I should probably think of something, and I haven't.
That's a long motto.
Okay, here's my motto. Come visit me in Canada.
Oh, that's really quite sad.
Well, you know what?
If I had any money, I would love to come visit you in Canada.
If there's anybody out there that would like to sponsor a podcast when you visit Canada, then you'll get in touch and we'll be there.
Tell the Leishman Foundation where they come.
We've said some nice things about you going to send us to Canada.
Taking away from sick, taking money away from sick kids and stuff. What a bunch of bastards.
Wow. It's about right for us.
Yeah.
Oh.
Don't
know what that was. All right. Okay, right, well, I think that's it. Good night.
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 Bye.
Yay, recording in progress. Right, okay.
Do you want Dougie to say something just to make sure it's...
Do you just say something, Dougie?
Xylophone buggery.
Oh, that's beautiful.
That's a great reference as well.
Nice, yeah. Hello, 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 hello. Ha, 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 ha.
Cuts does this every week. I think he's just trying to hide him turning into the Joker. Slowly but surely.
You gotta check your levels.
Gotta do it.
Yeah.
I know, I didn't get any beer and I'm like, gutted. I was like, I'm sitting here with a fucking bottle of water and I'm like,
ugh. That's what we're on the tea and scones this weekend. that's what we're on. Hardcore.
That's a party in your 30s, that's what that is.
Content. Get the podcast started.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm taking your
time. Me and Cutch never actually speak anymore because we're just burning through content.
Yes. It's just like, do you want to do no content? Hello and welcome back into Scotland's premier Fife based podcast. Actually, no, I fucked that up. Right.
Oh, I'm seeing behind the veil here.
Creative process. Hello, Fifers, and welcome back. No, shut the fuck up. Right. I look forward to getting them to come. I look forward to getting them to come on again with. Right. Let me.
Doogie, you're putting some sort of pressure on.
I can't perform.
He's been space jammed.
Right, okay. I look forward to getting them to come on again with... Fuck's sake.
I guess you're cold. You're not usually this bad. It's usually fuck up once or twice.
Right, I look forward to getting them to come on again with maybe a few more of us Fife Clubbers. So, instead, we have a newbie Fife Clubber. And that's my cat.
Not you, cat.
To me, let me... Sorry.
Right, I'm going to kick the cat out. 2 seconds.
Getting fucking upstaged by a cat.
This is awful stuff.
This sounds like an extra bit of the end to me.
Yeah.
I always thought you just did it in one big long run, yeah.
Mostly.
I feel like I'm being let in on a lie here.
This is actually the worst I've been for a long time, but I am. It's choked and all that. Now I'm going to do sexy husky voice now.
Oh. Welcome to Fife Club.
Can I take your order? Right, 3, 2, 1.